Red Line.
Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte paid a high-profile visit to China, signifying Manila's drastic change of priorities and indicating that it will continue drifting away from the U.S. umbrella as it moves to embrace the Asian giant. Ever since he was elected just a few months ago, the popular Philippine leader hasn't held back from voicing his dissatisfaction with U.S. foreign policy, and most importantly, Washington's information attacks against Manila for the conduct of its war on drugs. Duterte has made a point of emphasizing his independent thought and detailing his vision for making the Philippines a more free and sovereign nation, which pivotally includes bolstering his country's relationship with China through infrastructure cooperation and one-on-one talks over the South China Sea. In turn, this has stoked fear among American commentators that Washington's prized pivot to Asia will fall flat on its face in the event that the Philippines fully pivots away from the U.S. For the grand strategic stakes that are at play for all sides, as the Philippine president boldly maneuvers between the U.S. and China, Rodrigo Duterte is our Man of the News this week.
This is not the first week, Andrew, when President Duterte is Man in the News. He brings one surprise after another, and this visit to Beijing looks as a game changer in Manila's policy. But at the same time, as you remember, we are expecting him here in Moscow as well. But before going into details of Duterte acting as a personality, as a new type of leader, I want just to draw attention to another fact that while he wasn't in China, we've seen that mass anti-American protests in Philippines. And probably you've seen that on TV, all major TV challenge were showing that how the police went ram into the crowd, and that was really something unimaginable. And after that, the van's driver told reporters that he hit the protest by accident, so it's quite unclear what actually happened there. But what that shows, that this anti-American drive on part of Duterte, this is obviously not one-man show, but still it's mushrooming in Philippines itself, those sentiments which were seen totally non-traditional to Philippines.
Yeah, well, we definitely have to investigate what's going on here, because to the casual observer, it seems quite odd. But when you really dig beneath the layers, it might make some more sense. So we're going to begin by speaking with our first in-studio guest, Mr. Gleb Ivashintsev. He's member of the Russian Council of International Relations, and he's also Russia's former ambassador to South Korea and Myanmar. So can you tell us about the difference between Duterte and the traditional Philippine elite? I mean, Duterte seems to be cut from a completely different cloth.
I think Duterte's special quality is that he has come from not the Philippine elite. The former leaders, we all from the elite, with higher education got in American universities, and feeling very close to United States culture. But Duterte, I do not think he has ever studied in the university. He is a real son of the soil, and in that capacity, he reflects the nationalist feelings of the mass of Filipino people who have been under pressure of the Americans for so many years, and with whom this nationalist revival is coming. Therefore, we can explain these all qualities of President Duterte by his origins.
So what you're saying is that Duterte represents the people a lot more accurately than the previous Philippine leaders did, that were basically born and raised educationally in the United States. I mean, that because of Duterte's origins, this speaks a lot on what the conventional opinion of the Philippines might be towards the U.S. then.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Everywhere in Asia now, there is revival of nationalism. Nationalism, and it is represented by the mass population in city and in the country, everywhere.
Yeah, and with this nationalism in the Philippines, as you called it, it's not violent or hostile, as some might stereotypically think. It's actually pretty pragmatic and cooperative. It wants to work with China.
That's true. That's true, because China is nearby. The United States are rather far away.
Yeah, and that definitely makes a huge difference in this case. Well, when we look at China and we also look at Russia, for example, Duterte has spoken very positively about both countries. Do you think this is part of his positioning relative to the United States, his political posturing?
I don't think we should be over-optimistic. on Duterte's statements regarding his cooperations with China and Russia, because many of his statements are for domestic use. And but anyway, we in Russia have been always prepared for active cooperation with the Philippines.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Mr. Vachinsov. We have a guest on the line to join us and tell us more about the Chinese perspective, and that's Mr. Yuri Tavrovsky. He's a professor at the People's Friendship University of Russia, and he's also the author of Biography of Xi Jinping.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Tavrovsky. How are you today?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. You know, we're discussing Duterte's pivot towards China, and I want to ask you, how far will it go, and how fast will he take things?
I think that President Duterte is a real nationalist. First of all, he's a nationalist, and so he sees that possible confrontation with China was against the national interests of the Philippines, and so he changed the policy of his predecessor, President Benigno Aquino, and counterbalanced it with the famous visit to Beijing, and I think he's going to go quite far in making relations with China better. And of course, the Chinese are also prepared to follow suit, and you know, they promised President Duterte several billion dollars during his visit, and I think this is not all. They will also offer him something like additional fishing rights for the Filipino fishermen near the contested islands, and because President Duterte comes from the island of Mindanao, he also asked the Chinese to build a high-speed railroad in Mindanao. So it's, you know, the reason is that the national interests of China and national interests of the Philippines coincide at this point. And President Duterte and President Xi Jinping understand it quite well.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Tavrovsky. In order to give us a more local perspective, we're going to speak to Mr. Juan Ahmed Faisal. He's a Malaysian political commentator.
Red Line.
Okay, Juan, why is Duterte so much different than his predecessors? I mean, what is it about his outlook or life experience that makes him want to act so independently of the U.S.?
I think Duterte is a reflection of traditional Southeast Asian leaders. You know, we have people like Mahathir before, people like Lee Kuan Yew, people like Sukarno of Indonesia. These people, they are anti-colonial kind of leaders, yeah? They are not easily cozy to any foreign powers. So maybe he's being molded in that kind of leadership figure through the experience of his own people, the Filipino people, which are pretty much poor and also marginalized in world trade, and also being a former colonial country under the colonialism of the American, the Spanish. The consciousness of, you know, to show that you are more dignified than what you are being portrayed in the arena is something common in our...
Okay, yeah, thanks for giving us the regional insight into that. I think it'll be pretty interesting for some of our Western audience to hear about how history can have played such a role on Duterte. But I want to ask you next about what does his engagement with China mean, and how can it change the geostrategic calculations in the South China Sea, and especially with the U.S.'s pivot to Asia?
I think it has caught the Americans by surprise with regard to Duterte's pivot to China. And because I remember for the past 3 years under Najib Razak and also under Benigno Aquino, President Obama, he has done a lot of engagement with the leaders in our region. And he cemented quite interesting and strategic initiatives. For example, the opening of Subic Bay military base in Philippines. Yeah, those were done during Aquino's time by President Obama. And having a dark horse like Duterte into the picture currently, I think it does affect the pivot to Asia. And I think Hillary Clinton must win this election in order for the Americans to really stabilize the pivot that they have been planning for many years before this.
Okay, and how do you think, I mean, if we can just expand a bit about what China hopes to gain from this? You know, Duterte is, of course, holding negotiations with China right now about the Scarborough Shoal and other related issues. What does China stand to gain by this engagement with Duterte?
China has everything to gain from this current effort by Duterte. In the sense that we all know, and they also know, everyone knows, the big players know that the real game is containment. Traditionally, as I've told before, the mainland ASEAN countries are aligning with China. These are by traditional diplomatic reason, and also geographical affinity and contiguity. But the maritime ASEAN countries, most of them are traditionally in the hands of the Americans, except Malaysia. We are non-alignment for quite some time, but we are quite close in terms of economy, culture and politics, democracy, you know. So having lost Philippines to China, and this is very much a game-changing situation, geopolitically speaking, because now China has a strong influence in one of the main and oldest ASEAN founding members, which is the Philippines. And we all know having Philippines on board is very much crucial to China's strategic interest in the South China Sea, in the sense that instead of Philippines being used by the Americans for the containment strategy, now it is pretty much being made in near future. Yeah.
Okay, Juan, thank you very, very much. It was very exciting to hear your forecast about this, and you had some pretty thorough explanations in telling us what's going on. Thank you. Right now, we're going to have to move over to our last guest on the line. We want to thank you for joining us. That's Mr. Bryce Swearhoon. He's a researcher at the City University of Hong Kong. Hello, Bryce. How are you today?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing very well, thanks, here in Johannesburg.
Oh, hey. Thank you for joining us. You know, of course, we're discussing Duterte and this pivot towards China, and I wanted to ask you how this is being perceived in general. I mean, how are you seeing this, and what are you reading about it? I know the U.S. is against it, or at the very least, it's ambiguously uncertain, but at the same time, a lot of Chinese, Asian, Russian commentators, they're looking at this kind of positively. How do you see things?
Well, you're right that there is still a lot of uncertainty and ambiguity at this time. I think one thing that we have to look at is that, you know, if we put this in context of the disparaging remarks that Duterte made at the ASEAN summit recently to President Obama, you know, the President of the United States is coming to the end of his term. The military deal that the United States has with the Philippines was, you know, signed with Mr. Duterte's predecessor. So I think there is a sense that, you know, this is not really as ambitious a gambit, you know, announcing a breakaway from the United States, because, you know, what we're seeing is that, you know, towards the end of Obama's term that, you know, such things might now be possible to say without, you know, impacting the long-term sort of consequences, because essentially it will be a matter for the incoming president to look at. But in response to some of the previous comments about you know, the Maritime Silk Road, I think one thing that has to be kept in perspective is that, you know, the Philippines currently doesn't have significant trade relationships with China. In fact, its exports are higher to Hong Kong than it would be to mainland China itself, and that the trade relationships with the Philippines is still largely with traditional American allies such as Japan. So I think that what we're seeing is that, you know, Mr. Duterte is, in effect, operating on his own, as it were, and that there might still be a fundamental relationship that needs to be negotiated, you know, beyond the rhetoric of the past few days.
Okay, I have to say, those are some pretty deep comments, Bryce, especially when you brought up the Philippines trade relationships. I think that we all need to do well and keep those in mind when figuring out how far and how fast Duterte can go with this pivot. But Bryce, unfortunately, we've run all out of time, so we have to wrap up our program, but we're thankful that you joined us again. Thank you very much. And you know, Sergey, just to wrap this all up, it looks like what Duterte is doing, it is historic in many, many ways. It breaks out of the Chinese containment coalition that the U.S. wanted to use to surround China with the so-called pivot to Asia, as Mr. Tabrovsky said, breaking through one of the island chains. But it's questionable how far and how fast it'll go because, of course, there will be an American reaction.
I think that we have to agree that he still remains an enigma, but at the same time, it's already clear now that he will change not only the politics of Philippines, but probably the general perceptions which were dominating in Asia over the role of the United States.
Yeah, he might be an enigma to some, but he still has a lot of people rooting for him. So we're going to thank all of our guests for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Gleb Ivashensov. He's a member of the Russian Council of International Relations and Russia's former ambassador to South Korea and Myanmar. We also spoke to Mr. Yuri Tavrovsky. He's a professor at the People's Friendship University of Russia and author of Biography of Xi Jinping. Next, we had Mr. Bryce Swerhum. He is a researcher from the City University of Hong Kong. And we also spoke to Mr. Juan Ahmed Faisal, a Malaysian political commentator. And with this, we end this week's edition of Redline, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Strokhan.
Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.
Take care and goodbye.